This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, seavillepodcast.com.
Dee Dee Smith joins me. She is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan online at seavillewater.info. And the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Love to hear from you. Are you speaking tonight at City Council? Will you be attending the event? Give you an opportunity to share your thoughts for and against the plan, or for and against the proposed plan of Charlottesville Mayor Dave Norris. Dee Dee, I am guessing that you will indeed be there this evening.
Oh, I will be there with bells on my toes, and now, this is a big one.
Now, let me ask you this. As Liz Palmer was leaving, she asked me to ask you a question, and maybe you can answer it, maybe you can't. It might not be the right person, but her point was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but her point was basically, at what point does the Charlottesville City Council believe in the advice of the professionals that they have hired to oversee the development of water supply in our community? She says, at what point do we believe the engineers over a group of well-meaning local citizens who object to the existing plan, and you would be in the latter group? But I guess that's her general point, and you're not a member of City Council, but clearly her point is made. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a great question, because quite frankly, the City Council does believe the professionals that they have hired. Now, that's a distinction between the professionals that City Council has hired and the professionals that Ravana Water and Sewer Authority has hired. And in fact, the professionals that the City Council has hired pretty much contradict the information that Ravana provides on a number of components of the plan, the most dramatic of which recently was the existing dam. The engineers who are currently hoping to design the dam at Ragged Mountain came back saying, your existing dam is no good, it's unsafe. And they based all of this on a letter from 1913, mind you, but brought in all sorts of evidence that this was no good. Well, the city went ahead and hired their own firm under their own management. And that firm came back and said, wow, this dam is not only sound, it is much more sound than we previously thought. You can build upon it, you can just repair it, or you can raise it. It was totally contradicted, Rivanna's. So in fact—
Is that just an example, though, of the consulting industry, where you sort of get what you get the answer that you've paid to get?
Well, or you maybe you get the answer that you're looking for. But the fact is that it is, you have to go beyond this. We have to look at reason. We have to look at costs. There are many, many factors, and there's plenty of engineering out there, and it doesn't all support building a brand new dam. It doesn't.
So what are your thoughts? I want to hear your thoughts about some of the issues that Liz raised. She said the existing 50-year water supply plan is the most cost-effective plan. It's the one that restores the health to the rivers, and that those downstream flows are critically important and part of the existing plan, and really not part of critics of such as yourself, any plans that you would bring to the table. Two issues there, but your thoughts.
Right. Well, first of all, the very idea that it's the most economical plan is totally ridiculous. I'm sorry to say that so dramatically, but the plan as they envision it costs at least $150 million. And after you bond it, we're talking closer to $300 million. To dredge the South Fork Ravana Reservoir and fix the infrastructure that needs to be repaired is well under $100 million. Probably much under $100 million. To say it's more economical is ridiculous. But of course, then they would say, well, you don't get as much water. Well, let me tell you, you get almost as much water as you do by building that new dam, because what the proponents of the dam don't tell you is what you lose in their plan. You lose almost a billion gallons of water by allowing the South Fork to silt in almost completely, which is in their plan, and they anticipate will happen in the 50-year time frame, as well as they're cutting off one whole reservoir we have, which is the Sugar Hollow Reservoir, from direct access to our system, which is another 360-some million gallons. I mean, just the sheer loss of water in their plan. They basically are throwing it all away and starting over. That is the gist of the plan. So that's the economics. Want me to talk about the Rivanna? I would love to.
Yeah, yeah. This whole idea of downstream flows, and this is one of the components of the existing 50-year plan, that this is the environmentally friendly plan.
And again, it's ridiculous. This plan is totally focused on the Mormons River, which is an honorable goal to restore natural streams to the Mormons River, but it is at the expense of the Rivanna, which is a much bigger river, mind you. The permit, as it is written, reduces the mandatory flows from 8 million gallons per day past the dam at the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir to 1.3. It's barely a trickle for such a large river, as well as the permit never actually, in all of the requirements, it is tied to the total volume in the system, and never in the permit are they restricted to anything less than 30%, taking 30% of the flow. You know, Coy, today with this little mini drought we're in, they would be allowed to take 70% of the water that's flowing into the Rivanna and take it out. That is not, tell me that's good for the river.
We're talking with Dee Dee Smith, and the phone lines are open for you, 977-1070. An historic day in our community, a public hearing tonight in the city of Charlottesville, as citizens will come forth and share their views about the water supply plan. For and against the existing water supply plan, 977-1070. Richard is with us. Richard, go right ahead.
Yes, Corey, Liz Palmer asked Dee Dee a question as she left, as you reported. And I just wanted to point out that Rivanna's original consultant, Gannett Fleming, did a complete analysis of the Ragged Mountain, the existing Ragged Mountain Dam. Section 5 was called structural stability. There were five different loading scenarios, and that dam passed all of them, all the Corps of Engineers safety margins with flying colors. That report said that the spillway was inadequate, which everybody agrees with. And based on that, and we pointed it out to Liz Palmer many times, based on that, Liz Palmer ran around town saying the dam's no damn good. And then Snobble came forward, and Snobble was asked, without doing any study, is the dam good? And, of course, they wanted the contract for the big earthen dam, so they said, no, dam's no good. And then the city went out and said, we don't buy this. And they had a third contract with Black & Veatch, and Black & Veatch came and did a real analysis of the dam, just like Snobble had done before, and confirmed everything that Snobble told us, only they went a step further.
Everything that Gannett Fleming
had told us. And they went a step further and said, not only is Gannett Fleming correct, but it's exceptionally strong. You can build upon it. You can build 51 feet upon it, maybe more. We were only asked to look at up to 51 feet. So I would say to Liz that she ought to believe the professionals that Rivanna has hired. And the only one that didn't do an analysis was Schnabel, and they were the only one that said the dam is no damn good.
Richard, thanks for the call. That's the long version of that story. Yeah. Well, let's go to Chris. He's online, too. Chris, thanks for the call. Go right ahead.
Sure. Just a quick question. I haven't even decided myself where I am on the issue, but I'm just curious about dredging. Is the expectation that you would only have to do that once, or is that something that would have to be repeated? I would imagine you would continue to get silt into the reservoir.
Well, that's a great question. And the official study that was done, only looked at taking it all out in one shot, basically a one-time dredge, which would take 7 or 8 years. We, the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, advocate a different approach, which would be what has been called small bites by Richard, who we just talked to.
And what Dave Norris calls a market approach.
A market approach. Yeah, there's lots of continuous dredging. There's lots of ways you can characterize this. But basically what you do, and it has been suggested to us that communities are doing this all across the country, is you buy your own small equipment, and this is a small project. They sort of laugh at us because it's so small. You buy your own equipment. You hire local people. This is all very user-friendly, intuitive equipment, and it takes very little land, unlike a one-time dredging, and you do it over time. So you sort of slowly recover your
reservoir.
You dredge
a little bit, you dewater a little bit, and then you sell into the market what the market will bear. You only dredge out the dirt that the market is going to bear because people buy that dirt.
Well, that's the other
advantage.
That's
what makes it a market approach.
Exactly.
And you don't take out more dirt than the market would bear. And it also keeps the price and the value of the dirt that comes out a little bit higher and sustained because you're only putting a little bit of that dirt into the local marketplace at a time.
Right, exactly.
And that's gold dirt right there.
I mean, it's beautiful stuff. That's what we found out with that study.
And talk about that for a second, because that's another example of something we didn't know. When we really started looking at the nuts and the bolts of dredging, we discovered what about this dirt that's down there.
Right. It's basically topsoil. I mean, you think about it. It's what's been flowing into the off the land, and there are no toxins in it. None. I mean, they tested for, I can't remember, 20 or something. I mean, a lot. It's agricultural grade material. Now, upstream of the reservoir is mostly sand, and that's very valuable. I mean, you can take all of that and sell it right away, because anybody who needs sand around here, it has to be trucked in from, I think the closest is Williamsburg. So we know the sand is good. The topsoil would be just needs to come onto the market a little more slowly, as you said, because the market is such that it can't handle it being a huge amount. But but the advantage of this is that you ultimately, probably 15 to 20, 25 years, you ultimately restore your entire reservoir, and you have the equipment to continue to restore it. At the same time, there are other mechanisms that prevent future sedimentation, including protecting the watershed.
Chris, thanks for the call, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, appreciate it. 977-1070 is the phone number. We're talking with Dee Dee Smith. She's a member of Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan. Tonight is the big public hearing in the city of Charlottesville, and we are having an extended conversation about this issue today on Charlottesville Right Now. We'll take a very quick break. Phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Tonight in Charlottesville, a big public hearing, the biggest we've seen in years, as local citizens come forth to share their views on what is proposed to be the biggest public works project in generations, and that is a new water supply plan. Dee Dee Smith is with Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, online at sevillewater.info, and she has been one of the local community leaders leading a critique and really an attack on the existing 50-year plan, which has been now 3 years, right?
It has been at least 3 years that we've been opposing it.
And it's almost, I mean, this is really what we are experiencing here is something that I could see students at UVA studying one day, just in terms of public engagement and the whole process of government and local government decision making. It really is a fascinating thing that we've been seeing happen here over the last few years. The number of consultants that have come through, each with very different conclusions. And one of those we were talking about during the break, Dee Dee, and that was years ago when we got an estimate for dredging. It really took dredging off the table because it was, what, $250 million or something?
Right. Well, it started out in the beginning as $40 million, and everybody thought that was outrageously expensive. And then the dam got more expensive, so all of a sudden it was $140 million. And then when the dam sort of went over $140 million, the dam and pipeline went over $140 million, and all of a sudden dredging was $223 million. I mean, that is so ridiculous, as Hawes Spencer likes to point out. That's more than it cost to dredge the Panama Canal.
Betty is on the line. Betty, thanks for the call. You going to be there tonight?
Yes, and I'm a member of Dee Dee's group also, and I want to thank Dee Dee and you for having this program. And I want to say that, just to answer some of the people who want the plan, our group has never been against stream flows, and we're very concerned about the Mormons, but what we're concerned about is all of the streams and rivers in the whole system. And we feel Dave Norris has come up with a better plan to address. We're still going to care about stream flows in the Mormons. That's in our permit. We will still see all of the things, all the benefits of the other plan, but with Dave Norris's plan, we'll see them at a far less cost and far less environmental damage, because we'll be looking at many more resources in the community and not just one resource. So I don't want people to get the idea that we have anything against rivers and streams and stream flows. That's all in our plan as well. So thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Betty, thank you very much. And we got a line open at 977-1070. We're talking about the water supply plan and its surrounding debate, a public hearing tonight in Charlottesville. Hawes Spencer will join me in the next half hour at 5:08 on the clock. He has won statewide journalism awards for his investigative reporting of this controversy. What are your thoughts about conservation? When we were talking with Liz Palmer earlier in this program, she said, well, there is conservation, but it's not as much And I have to be careful. I want to be careful in paraphrasing what you said. That it's not as much as the critics of the plan are giving it credit for in trying to say that conservation will truly impact our water needs vis-a-vis the demand analysis.
Right. Well, what I heard Liz say was, yes, in fact, we're right. There has been impressive water conservation, but for planning purposes, we should be extremely conservative. And AWWA supports that, which they don't. They actually do not support only using 4 to 8%. That is the old number, and you could actually even find that buried in the manual. But what the American Water Works Association is now saying is that in smart resource planning, integrated resource planning, you need to manage your demand as well as your supply, and you need to recognize that this is a different world, and our conservation. The way we use water in water conservation has changed dramatically, and particularly, and AWWA will say, for a community like ours that is so heavily residential, it will have that impact of that 30 to 40% that Liz mentioned. When a house is retrofitted or a new house is built, that is the level of conservation we can expect, and that in fact is the level of conservation we are approaching. We are now 25%. Less water than they projected that we would be at this point. We are 20% less water than before the drought of 2002, which is why, Coy, we have not had restrictions in this latest drought. Have you noticed that? There has been a drought for months.
I mean, the Commonwealth of Virginia is under a huge drought watch.
And we're not.
But we're not.
We're not, because we have plenty of supply given compared to the amount we use. That is the ratio that you need to look at.
Let me ask you this, Dee Dee. Tim Hulbert, who's head of the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce, said recently, quote, somewhere along the way, the city lost its way. It started asking questions that really had already been answered, end quote. What are your thoughts about that?
Those questions had not been asked, and the city started asking questions. Good for them. I mean, we were encouraging them to ask a lot of questions. This is a $150 million public works program. This is huge, unprecedented. Everybody should be asking hard questions. And even Liz admitted on the program that there's new information, or at least she was quoted somewhere saying that. There is so much new information over the past 10 years. It's been 10 years since really new information has been used that was used for that plan. Yeah. So much has changed.
Let me ask you this, because we've talked before, and I wanted to just, in the couple of minutes that we have left, give you an opportunity to explore this idea that the existing 50-year water supply plan really is the developer's plan. It's the business plan. It is the plan of the Chamber of Commerce this is the plan that they would really support over anything else. Big, really more expensive plan.
You know, and that's fine. I am all for bringing in more business, but business is not going to come into a community whose water rates are the highest in the state and going up. Business is where we will see the greatest advances and the quickest advances in water conservation. And in fact, Coy, it is where we have seen them. It is because it makes economic sense to implement these the technology's changing so quickly. So this is actually Dave Norris's dredge and be reasonable plan is way more pro-business than building infrastructure you can't pay for.
And really quickly, I mean, Dave was on the program last week, but the plan that he is proposing and that he may indeed, after the public hearing tonight, call for a vote on his proposed plan that the city move forward on that track, which calls for incremental dredging, market-forced dredging opportunities to just dredge a little bit at a time and sell the sand and the dirt just a little bit as you pull it out. And over the years, you restore the health to your existing reservoir rather than going out and building a huge public works project and building a brand new reservoir. Your thoughts on his proposed plan?
I think that is the most economically fiscally responsible plan from a business perspective. It is what any businessman would do, or woman. It is ironically the most conservative approach to take.
That is sort of the funny thing in this argument that we see from, you know, Charlottesville local, uber conservatives really attack Charlottesville all the time and make it out to be the boogeyman of liberals. And yet we are really seeing, you could argue, the fiscally responsible plan coming forth out of some in the city and not in the county.
Right, and the city has the most to lose. I mean, so it's not that unexpected. You would see it from the city. The city's landlocked. Its water use is going down. It's not going up. Any debt that they incur for their city residents is going to really hurt. And so it is, thank God we've got somebody who's being fiscally conservative.
Dee Dee Smith, she'll be there tonight at the City Council Chambers. Dee Dee, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.